Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I Don't Get It Podcast. What's up, guys? Welcome to the I Don't Get It Podcast. You know all our names and all our voices. We are so excited to have the guest that we have on today. His name is Case Kenny. He's basically known as a dude who likes to like lift weights and share feelings. Case, thank you so much for being on. We're so stoked to have you. I love that you don't call yourself like an expert and you don't think you're an expert either. But basically, if you guys have never heard of Case Kenny, he shares his perspective and experiences on like dating, relationships, people in general, mindsets through a podcast he has called New Mindset Who Dis. He also released a book recently called Single Is Your Superpower. And he's basically my, as someone who's been single literally since I popped out of my mom's vagina, he's literally like the Instagram that I gravitate towards whenever I'm like, I don't know, just like need advice dating, when it comes to dating or relationships or whatever it is. But Case, I was hoping you could start off by just telling us like where you came from and basically how you blew up on every single person's radar.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. And yeah, that description of me being a dude who just likes to lift weights and share feelings, that's new. That was given to me by Raina over on Girls Gotta Eat, but I'll take it. I think that's actually really accurate and I like it and it's simple. So, I'm not an expert. I'm just a guy. I started podcasting a couple years ago just as a means to challenge myself. I came out of a relationship and I was like, who is Case? Like, what am I doing? I was very heads down in that relationship and my job. And I came out of it and I was like, you know, I want to get to know myself better. And so I just started sharing my thoughts on different things like self-development topics. I call it all mindfulness. Unfortunately, it kind of blew up and it got real popular real fast. But I never talked about like dating or relationships. I thought... and still think to an extent that I'm woefully, you know, unqualified to do that. But I started sharing my thoughts on dating and like being single and things like that. And that's when things really, really started to blow up. And then I started to write down my thoughts on Instagram, on coffee cups, which is like my vibe. And that even blew it up even more. So
it's a great aesthetic. It's very clean. I enjoy reading it on the coffee cup.
Thank you. Yeah, I drink a lot of coffee and I figured I could put it to use in some way. I mean, it is pretty funny, like, people who, like, I live in Chicago and I feel like I'm like a grown man walking around doing arts and crafts, like taking pictures of coffee cups and
stuff. I was imagining that. I was looking at your Instagram, like, how embarrassing.
I mean, I used to be embarrassed. I used to like wait till everyone like walked by me and I'd snap these photos, but now I don't care. And like people say hi to me because they recognize me, but it's a very familiar aesthetic. It's like I wear this, I kind of wear the same thing all the time. It's just like Vans and ripped jeans and like a white tee and, you know, I've got this brand now. Oh, Case is the guy walking down Wacker in Chicago carrying a coffee cup. Like he's going to go take a picture of his feelings. So I've gotten used to it.
I wanted to ask you how long it takes you to write everything out. So, and you guys, if you go to case.kenny on Instagram, you'll see what we're talking about. But how long does it take you to write all that stuff out?
The whole thing is just hilarious to me. I mean, I'll practice it before I write it on the coffee cup because I don't want to like... I genuinely try to drink my coffee, write it, and go. But sometimes I'll mess up and I'll have to like do another cup. So trying to protect the environment, you know, I don't want to kill all these coffee cups.
Oh, I thought you bought a whole pack from Costco and then just did it every morning.
I mean, I have a bunch of extra cups in case things go wrong.
And my handwriting, the scenes
I'm working
of an artist,
on my handwriting.
I like it.
Trying to make it better. So it's a work in progress.
I love it. Love it. Love the BTS. A little bit about us, Case, and like people have been listening to us. So we basically started I Don't Get It 4 years ago. Ashley and I had like never had a boyfriend at the time that we started it. I still believe that I have never had one. And so we were in our mid to late 20s and our first episode was like, I don't get how girls get boyfriends. And like we ended up getting all these like messages from like girls that were, or women and men like from that were our age that also had never been in a relationship. So today I think our listeners are really going to benefit from like your perspective. basically want to first start talking about what it means to be single and your perspective on like the difference between being alone and being lonely. Or I'm sorry, the difference between feeling alone and being lonely.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, so my whole, I've been single for 3 years. I think before that I was always in a relationship. So I'm 32 now. So basically all my 20s, I was always in relationships. And, I mean, I think there's a big difference. And I think that the difference starts with understanding. And I wrote a book by the title. I called it Single is Your Superpower. That being single isn't a negative thing. It isn't a stigma. There's no assumption to be made about your worthiness or who you are or what you deserve just because you're single. I wrote an entire book on this. That's how like passionately I feel about it. And I think, namely, like, I don't think in life you're ever going to look back, call it 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 30 years from now, and regret being single. Mm-hmm. I think it's impossible to be like, I regret being single in my 20s or my 30s or even my 40s. I don't think that's possible.
I've never been single in my entire
that's
life.
Why
and
I'm
Ashley's
fun.
Mocking
I'm
me.
Like,
cause I think,
Lauren's nodding
yeah,
along.
Me
I'm like, oh, yeah, you practice this.
But I would never regret it if I was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But I think there's other things you'll regret, right? You'll regret being in a relationship, staying in a relationship for too long, right? You'll regret that.
Yeah.
You'll regret messing up or whatever. There's all these other things that you can regret. But I don't think you'll ever regret being single. So I think that's an mm-hmm. important thing to recognize, because I think everyone's going to feel lonely at some point. I just released a podcast the other day where I talked about the fact that sometimes I feel lonely. Sometimes me and my boys feel lonely, and we're grown men lifting weights and talking about protein and wearing flannel shirts. Like, we're not some like super sensitive people. So like, it's super universal that everyone's going to feel lonely at some point. But I think the key to understand is that being single, feeling lonely, it's not something that you need to have like a knee jerk reaction to and like try to fix it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing broken that needs being fixed. And in fact, like, it's cliche at this point to be like, single is a time to really dive into you and all those things. And that's true, of course. But I see it as like, it's easier to settle than it is to be single. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it like that, I think it's easier to settle than to feel lonely. Like, it'd be super easy, I think, for the most part, to like go out and date someone and be with someone who you know isn't right for you, or to pretend to like all the same things as everyone else, or to hang out with people who you know aren't real friends. Like, it's easy to do those things. It's less easy though to dig in your heels and be like, I'm single, but it's not a negative thing. It just means I'm like, I'm building on myself and I'm centering myself on who I want to be. So I look at it that it's like all upside, and it's not something you'll ever regret. And I think it's, you know, there's no magic pill here. It's not like you can snap your fingers and be like, oh, I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a matter of looking ahead and realizing you're not going to look back and regret it. It really is a powerful time in your life.
And I love that you say this, because I think a lot of my 20s, I was like, oh, I need someone. I need someone to like complete me. And like, everyone else has someone, and like, woe is me, and I'm never going to find love, and am I going to die alone? And then, you know, I've been alone for so long now, and now I'm dating, and now I'm meeting people, and I'm like, oh, it would actually be more enjoyable to be alone than to like really be with this person, even though I'm normally on the other side of that. So a big thing I actually use to ease my anxiety in the beginning of dating, just because dating, just, I don't know, guys, the beginning of dating is so anxiety inducing for me. Like, do they like me back? Do I even like them back? Is this going to work out? Is this going to end in heartbreak? Blah, blah, blah. All this stuff goes through my head. So one thing I've actually been taking every day is CBD. And I started taking this new CBD company I'm obsessed with. It's called Feels, but not like Feels, like Drake Feelings. It's like F-E-A-L-S. And it is just reduced my anxiety, pain, sleeplessness. Every morning after I brush my teeth, I put like 20 milligrams under my tongue. It's like a liquid tincture, and I hold it there for 30 seconds, and I just feel less anxiety. It also helps me sleep better, and I just go through my day a lot better. And I think for people that, you know, maybe never want to try weed, mm-hmm. it's CBD is a great way, especially Feels of CBD, to like naturally help you feel better, because there's no high hangover or addiction.
And there's a community you can actually join, and you can get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. And then there's real human support. So if you're new to CBD and you have a lot of questions, Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience.
Feels has
me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. It helps me a lot with my back pain, so that's what I use it for. Become a member today by going to Feels, FEALS.com/get it, and you'll get 50% off your first order and free shipping. That's FEALS.com/get it to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/get it.
So, okay. So you've talked about being single. I want you to go into dating. This is my favorite thing you've ever talked about. And I think it's something that's super trendy right now, especially in like the single relationship dating like category. Everyone's always talked about red flags. And you talk about green flags.
Yeah,
so like what is this concept of green flag? What is a universal green flag? And what do you think is the most important green flag that we should look for when we're dating?
Yeah, so this is something I frankly hadn't heard of until I started seeing people reference the term. And I was like, okay, I can get on board with this, right? A red flag is your intuition saying, that's a warning sign. This might not be right. I need to really figure out what's going on. Like, I don't like that. That doesn't feel right, right? That's a red flag. Everyone knows what a red flag is, and there's many, many, many. Green flag is the opposite. It's your intuition saying, that example that was set for me, that feels really good. I should explore this. There's potential here, right? So it's just the opposite. It's green means go, red means stop. So I saw that, and people were like, oh, what's a green flag? And I was like, yeah, I got to think about that. So I sat down and thought about this the other day, and there's all kinds of green flags. Like, I looked up online, like, what people say green flags are, and most of them are, like, situational, circumstantial. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, a green flag is when, you know, the person reaches out first, or the person is interested in your hobbies and, like, wants to try and, like, wants to meet your family, and, like, situational green flags.
Or, like, religion, so like, or politics, yeah, and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Things that are pretty universal that at some point you're going to come across, and ideally they would align in some way. So I was like, let's take those off the board. So I was thinking, like, what more higher level is like a really big green flag that you can like see in someone else? So my take on it is that I think the biggest green flag, again, this is something where your intuition is like, I love what I see here. This is great. Is that the person you're dating or considering dating is not obsessed with or not focused on potential. That's both your potential as a man, as a woman, and your potential as a couple. Because what I see a lot is that people, it's like, I just want to get over dating so that we can be in the couple phase. I just want to get this over so we can be in the honeymoon phase. I can't wait until we're this happy couple. I always make jokes about farmers markets and pumpkin patches, like that's the like honeymoon phase of dating or something. It's when it's those things and it's nights in and coffee in the morning together and everything is perfect, or like the house and white picket fence kind of suburb vibe or whatever. It's like someone who isn't so much focused on that, but who is
like jumping
ready,
the gun into that phase of the relationship. Just enjoying where you're at.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really simple, it's enjoying where you're at. It's appreciating the person who's in front of you today. You're dating their reality. You're obsessed with their reality, who they are. You're excited for who they can be. You're excited for who you can become as a couple, but like there's nothing to be proved. You know, potential is great. I think it's always important to talk about the future and things like that, but like that's not the focus. Like I've been in relationships before where it was like, oh, I can't wait until, you know, we've done this and we can do vacation and like really vibe and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. But like, what if that doesn't come? Like, what if nothing changed? Like, are we okay with the current? And sometimes the answer is no. So that's the green
flag. I feel like most of us are like conditioned to look at the potential in the relationship because then we think we're wasting our time if it's not going to turn into anything.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this is all about balance. I think that's important. But I mean, no matter what, like my biggest question is like, if I'm dating you and we're talking like, you know, 5 dates in or something, somewhere you've gotten past the initial awkward getting to know you phase and you're like, oh, okay, this is good. If nothing were to change, like, is that good enough for you? If nothing were to change about your dynamic, if nothing were to change about that person or you, like, is that good enough for you? Like, is that what you deserve? Like, that's the biggest question. And I think then you combine that with, well, what does that say about your potential together? Is there growth? Yes, then that's great. That's fantastic. But there's a mutual enthusiasm for the reality as opposed to whatever. Today, let's focus on tomorrow.
And it goes both ways. What I love is that you like call people out. So like what really hit home for me on your Green Flags podcast was you said, is the person in front of me, do they like me for who I am today?
not tomorrow, not what I'm going to look like 5-10 years from now. Do they like me today? And then reversely, do I like them today? Not, oh, maybe in a year he'll have his shit together or whatever. And it's like, I think you said it so succinctly. You're like, yesterday and today, build the foundation for tomorrow. And I had to check myself because I was like, wow, there's definitely people I've dated in the past where I'm like, you know, he just has a lot going on and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I'm like, but then do I even like who he is today? Or am I falling in love with the potential of the person? And so I wanted your thoughts on that in general, like when, well, actually we'll get to that when we talk about fuckboys, but yeah, I just, this whole concept of green flags, I think you are spot on. I think that is the most important one. Do you like who they are today? And do they like who you are today?
Yeah.
I'm going to write that one down and ask someone that question about me.
You guys, I feel quiet, but I'm truly taking it all in. I wish I had this wisdom when I was single, because I feel like what we're talking about right now is something like that is not repeated in podcast after podcast with dating experts. It's really new stuff, and I love the way you look at it.
Thank you. Yeah. And Naz, you nailed the recap there. You said it much better than I just did a second ago. So thanks for listening and saying it back.
I'm just rephrasing what you said.
Okay. So say you're dating and you got to emotionally eat something and you're like, gosh, that box of cereal looks so tempting, but I know it's just crap for me because it's got so much sugar and it's got gluten and all that carbs. I don't need any of that, right? Well, actually, if you have a box of Magic Spoon cereal, you don't have to worry about any of that. Naz and I are so hyped on Magic Spoon cereal. They've got cocoa flavored, fruity flavored, frosted, blueberry. Like, they have all those childhood favorite flavors, but with the adult conscious nutrition.
Exactly. Like, you basically can indulge. Like, wow. I emotionally eat while I'm waiting for a text, and I just have a whole bowl of Magic Spoon. Ashley, I mix the blueberry and cocoa together, and it's like so good because it's like chocolatey but fruity. I can't explain it, but the reason why I love it is because there's zero sugar in it. 11 grams of protein. So I eat 6 small meals a day. Sometimes I use this as one of my meals, and it only has 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. So like Ashley said, they have cocoa.
So many.
So like Ashley said, they have
so many bowls.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. Like this is a great diet.
Yeah. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free. And I do not know how they do it, but they do. And I guess that's why they call it Magic Spoon. It's magic.
Perfect.
So go to magicspoon.com/get it to grab a variety pack to try everything. And be sure to use our promo code get it at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident that you're going to like their product. It's backed by 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/get it. And don't forget to use the code get it, GETIT, to save $5. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring the podcast.
So we have our most important green flag, right? Everybody out there listening that's dating, do you like who they are today? Do they like who you are today? So let's say we're dating, Case, right? So what about like baggage? So like we meet someone and maybe they have a lot of things. You talk about this because, you know, I think most people listening are all our age, which is like late 20s, early 30s, later 30s. So what are your thoughts on baggage?
Can I add one thing in there before you answer the question? I'm having some friends that are currently in situations with people who have children now that we're in our 30s. And I want to know how kids can affect dating and relationships, because it is so beyond me, because like the four of us don't have kids. And I'm like, oh, is that like a whole different realm of dating that like I just can't conceptualize?
Yeah, that's a good one. I usually try to only talk about things that I can relate to heavily. And that's one that it's like, that's a whole dynamic that throws me for a loop. And I can give advice. I could give some advice there, I think, that just comes down to awareness. But I think that dynamic is so complicated. Mm-hmm. So I would probably say I'm unqualified to answer. I don't have kids.
But that's a form of baggage. So like, what are your thoughts on like baggage in general, right?
Yeah. So I talk about this a lot. I mean, I think for one, I think it's important to realize that everyone has baggage. So if you come up across someone who has baggage, it's not like what's wrong with you. If you yourself has baggage, it's not what's wrong with you. So I think level the playing field for one. It's the same thing that everyone feels lonely, no matter how cool you are. Everyone has it. But then I think it comes down to the question of what are you doing with it? And what do you observe that person is doing with it? Is it like a dark place that you never ever want to visit? Is it like, I think I've likened it, is it like your taxes where you only do it when you have to at the last second? Or is it something that you're like working on? And I think I was trying to think of the most succinct way to talk about it. For me, it's, I wrote a chapter in Singles Your Superpower on this thing. I call it Kanye attitude and Drake feelings. And I think this is like when you observe this in someone.
The analogies is what's making me understand. Big analogy guy. Drake.
Yeah, I'm a big analogy guy. I'm pretty simple, so I need to, you know, visualize. The thing is, does that person, relative to their baggage, have Kanye attitude and Drake feelings? And it's really simple. It's Kanye attitude is, do they take that baggage they have and are they driven by it in a way? Are they hungry to either prove something about it? Are they excited and enthusiastic to try to overcome it? That's one. So it's a hunger, right? It's like a fire. They're not defeated by it. It doesn't hold them down, in a dark way. So that's one kind of attitude. Another one is Drake feelings is, are they willing to talk about it? Are they willing to be vulnerable about it? I think someone who has a weight that they carry around with them and they're not willing to address it, they're not willing to work on it, and they're not willing to discuss it, that I wouldn't call it a red flag necessarily, because people can change, but like that's I think is not the way to handle
a pink handle their flag baggage. Perhaps. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, Dr. Mike, my therapist, who's been on this podcast before, I talked to him a lot about dating, and he's told me the same thing you said. He's like, I'm more concerned about people who have things that don't talk about it. And I think just to bring in our Bachelor audience, we saw in Tayshia's past season, I don't know if you watch Bachelor, it doesn't matter if you do, Case, but in this past season of The Bachelorette, we had a lot of guys open up about things that people at home may consider baggage. And I just think it's like an interesting thing to bring up about, because it's kind of like at our age, we're always going to meet somebody that has something. So it's about if they have that Kanye fire to get rid of it, or, and the Drake feelings to like open up to you about it. Maybe you should be more concerned if they're like not talking about it and not trying to fix
Ben
it.
Versus Zach.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like Ben wouldn't open up about it. And Zach was like, I've been through it. This is a thing I have. And you know, now he's a specialist in that stuff. Yeah. So exactly. Okay. So another thing I'm super excited to talk to you about, because we are massive Sex and the City fans. We have done entire podcasts on the concept of big, and like how we kind of feel like every person has this big in their life, which is like that person, you know, that you're either on and off with for a bunch
of
years.
Do you watch Sex and the City?
No.
I feel like this is your next chapter in your relationship guidance, is you watching it and then relating everything to it. For the sake of womankind.
I could do that.
That would be unreal if you did a podcast on Mr. Big. Because we've done podcasts on Mr. Big and who our Big was. Carrie always went for Big. And his actual name was John, but she called him Big for other reasons. He was this big love in her life. But anyways, sort of that person that was like that person in your life, you know. I wanted to ask you about the spark. So I have dated a bunch and I feel like I was always looking for a spark, and I'm just that person that's like, well, I'll know, you know, like I'll know in the first 10 minutes. And then, you know, I took a step back and people are like, well, people can grow on you. And, you know, I hated my husband until the fifth date and then we fell in love. And so we created this like sort of nebulous, like gray cloud for me where I was like, what the fuck? Well, where is the middle ground? You know, I'm like, do I give someone 2 dates? Do I give someone 5 dates? How long do I wait for the spark and not be exhausted by dating? So what are your thoughts on the spark?
Yeah. So I think looking for a spark can be a bit misleading and a little unfair to yourself, because sometimes people are on, sometimes people are off. Like I generally will always go on 2 dates with someone more or less, because people aren't their best selves. The first day they could be nervous. It could be an off day. It could be a Tuesday, whatever. Like I'm not convinced that everyone, you're not going to always get lucky and have that. So I try to take that out of the equation. And I think a lot of the times we get confused by certain things that we think are sparks. Like we think attention and compliments are sparks. I just did a podcast. I kind of went to war on this idea of like compliments and attention and how a lot of the times we delude ourselves into thinking that because, you know, you're someone's woman crush Wednesday or some guy repeatedly texts you and tells you how beautiful you are, that like that is the spark. Mm-hmm. Compliments are dime a dozen. Anyone can give compliments. Anyone can make someone else feel nice and appreciated. I don't think that's enough, and I don't think that's a spark. I think for me, it comes down to a larger thing, and that's how someone makes you feel. And that's a vague thing to say, but I really try to lean on this. It's like, I think we need to stop looking for a spark. I think we need to stop looking for a perfect person. It's like I did a whole episode on the idea of soulmates. Like a soulmate isn't someone who is like perfect because they check all these boxes and they're amazing in that sense. A soulmate is someone who makes you feel a perfect way. Did this whole episode on, I think I called it Perfect Love for Imperfect People, recognizing the fact that every single person is imperfect. There is really 0% chance you're ever going to find someone who matches this perfect checklist. But I am convinced you're going to find someone who makes you feel a perfect way, that having some of those boxes unchecked or checked in a way that isn't perfect, that is perfect to you, how they make you feel, right? So that is up to you, right? We all need to feel a certain way. Some of us need to feel challenged by a partner. Someone needs to feel appreciated, loved, in different ways, but like actually like truthfully feel that way. So for me, and this, like, it's a tough thing to be like, yes, I feel this way, no, I don't feel that way. And that all comes down to practicing mindfulness and self-awareness. But I think approaching someone that way and just repeatedly asking yourself, how did this person make me feel? I think that's a much better indicator than being like, do I feel that spark? Because the spark comes and goes. Like it comes and goes with, you know, you could have great sex and then not great sex. You'd be like, oh, the spark is gone. You could have a great week where they're super attentive to you and like loving on you. And then the next week they're not. And then you can misconstrue that as the spark is not there or gone. Mm-hmm. But I think if you look at something like a longer lasting, more mindful indicator, like how they make you feel. And again, you'd have to define what that kind of adjective is. I think that's a much better indicator of potential.
Now, for all you girls out there feeling like you're becoming cat ladies, there's not a problem with it. Love your kitty. It's fine. Collect all the kitties from the shelter. Bring them in and
bring them all into your home, and it won't smell like there's tons of kitties there with pretty litter.
Exactly. Pretty litter is unlike a traditional litter. It's got super light crystals that trap odor and they release moisture, resulting in dry, low maintenance litter that doesn't smell. Okay, so side story, Hunter's mom is so funny, Lauren's boyfriend. His mom is really funny because they had a cat named Mikey. And then she loved Mikey so much, so devastated when Mikey passed away, that she named her new cat Mikey 2.
Mikey 2.
So
Mikey 2 now has...
It's like an Air Jordan or something.
Yeah, exactly. Mikey 2 now has pretty litter. And not only is pretty litter lightweight and it doesn't smell and everything, but it monitors your cat's health, actually. Whoa. It's a health indicator. Pretty litter monitors Mikey and all cats' health by changing colors when it detects potential underlying issues. I wish they had that for dogs. But you won't find that kind of innovation in any conventional litter.
And this kind of low-key makes me want to get a cat. Because I feel like that was the one thing that was like holding me back, you know, was like smell. But pretty litter resolves all those issues. So guys, get the world's smartest litter without leaving home by visiting prettylitter.com and use our promo code GETIT for 20% off your first order. That's prettylitter.com. Our promo code's GETIT. You get 20% off. prettylitter.com. Promo code GETIT.
So kind of going off the spark, women are often like they say they fall in love between their ears and guys fall in love between their eyes. Their eyes. I don't know.
Lauren, I was thinking legs too.
Oh, Lauren. And I've definitely had that feeling where it's just like, oh, I thought somebody was like fine looking. And then all of a sudden you get to know their personality and you're very attracted to them. So I guess that kind of concerns me about how much time you give someone when you're dating. Cause it's like, what if you're not attracted right off the bat, but it does take some time to grow. So like, is 2 dates enough?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I think you should determine that for yourself. Like my rule is 2 dates and then I'll make a decision from there. But I think it's on you to really get the questions answered that you want. The attraction part, that's super personal. I think people need to figure that out for themselves. Yeah. Like how important is physical attraction? Mm-hmm. Like you can't say one thing and do another. Like you really need to figure your shit out and like understand that for you. Like, you know, I get on my buddies all the time for this. Like I have like good looking, successful friends and they'll be like, yeah, she's amazing. But you know, she's not the supermodel that I wanted, but I was like, but then he'd be like, yeah, but she's, you know, she makes me feel this and she's awesome in her career. I'm like, dude, you just answered your question for you. Why are you still hung up on this one little stupid thing? Yeah. So it comes down to self-awareness. And I know that's not like the black and white answer a lot of people want, but you've got to figure that out for yourself. There's like no rule that's going to be like, all right, it's 4 dates. It's, it's like whatever you decide. But I think it does come down to if you have questions, you got to get them answered. Like, I think it's, I talk to, I feel like it's women most of the time. I talk to women who they're like, yeah, I'm just unsure like what his intentions are. I'm unsure of like what is he doing on the dating apps. I'm like, why haven't you asked? Like, not in like a let's define the relationship kind of stage 5 clinger kind of thing, but like I'll go on a date. The first question I always ask is like, hey, what's going on? Like, what's your vibe? Like, what are you looking for? In a super casual way. Boom, my question is more or less answered if they're being truthful. But I think we're capable of clarifying so much more than I think we give ourselves credit for.
It's when you go beyond that second date, then you ask, like you waited too long. Cause then they think it's with intention of like solidifying. You got to go into it in the first date. Like, what are you looking for?
That's a good point. Yeah. I think at date 2, date 3, it's like, whoa, like
you're like, whoa, we've had 2 dates. Yeah.
Exactly.
See, the thing is like, I kind of have the same case where I feel like most people inherently want a partner. And I don't think anybody really knows what they want in the moment. I think that like a different date can mean a different thing, right? Like I can go on a date with a guy and be like, this guy's great. Maybe he's just great for casualness. I don't, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't want to say I disagree, but that question sort of like puzzles me. You know, it's like, should I ask what they're looking for or should it just organically unfold?
Yeah. I mean, I think everything is relative, but I think it's important you take a stab at it initially. And if the answer is casual, then that's fine. Like, I think as long as you're like being intentional about what you're doing, then it's fine. I think the trouble we all get in is when we're not being intentional at all. Right. Like, I really do believe that. Like, I look back at like, I just think if you're just dating and you're like, why are you dating? And you're like, I'm just doing it. Like, if that's what you're supposed to do, that's where you get into trouble. If you're dating and you're like, I'm just looking to hook up and have fun, that's fine. It's also fine to say, I'm dating because I want to find my soulmate. That's also fine. But when you have no answer to that question, that's where you put yourself in problematic areas. And then you got to consider that that other person also is probably having that dynamic in their head. So you have these two people coming together, both potentially without intention, both potentially with baggage, both potentially on a Tuesday where they're both feeling off a little bit. I don't know what my deal with Tuesdays is, but
that's funny.
But you can see it's like it's complicated. So I think Naz, I wish there was a better answer, but I think it comes down to going into something with intention, and if that prompts a question or curiosity, acting on it, whether that's asking a question or whatever, and then just listening to yourself and trying to make the best decision. I think if you have a question about what to do and you're not doing something to get that question answered, that's when you are to blame a bit, right? Mm-hmm. There's no excuse for not at least asking or exploring or doing something to get out of that like ambiguity.
I love that. It's very smart. Okay. So I want to ask you about fuckboys. And I, at first I was like, do I ask him about this? Because I run a support group for people that are heartbroken called Heartbroken Anonymous. And I think one of my biggest takeaways is that men and women hurt together. So I think fuckboys is a negative connotation towards just guys. I think there are fuck girls too.
Yeah.
But because you are a guy and you've talked about fuckboys, I wanted you to sort of elaborate. What is a fuckboy?
Yeah. So I did an episode where I called it Confessions of a Fuckboy. It's kind of clickbait. I wouldn't really consider myself a fuckboy, but I think to your point, everyone's been a fuck person at some point in their life. And all I think it is, I think particularly with men, because it's definitely more rampant there. It's all it is someone who is leading you on by preying on your hope for potential. So going back to what we were talking about, everyone wants to see potential. It's a very, very important thing. It's not something to ignore, but fuckboys prey on that desire for potential.
Oh my God. The way that you say things makes so much sense. Wait, yeah.
It's not like, oh, they're trying to fuck and not get in a relationship, but they are messing with you, saying like, let's hang out another time, but then leaving you hanging. It's the potential.
Knowing that you are just dying for the next text from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is extremely emotionally manipulative because they uncover what it is that you want
Sorry.
That's great.
So much of my past has been clarified.
Yeah.
There you go.
I told you, Case is the best. All right. Sorry. Keep going.
It's unfortunately validated. But so I mean, it's emotionally manipulative. They uncover what your intention is and then they prey on it. It sounds really dark, but I mean, that's what it is at its core. That's why it's like, everything is a double-edged sword. Like the more vulnerable and intentional you are, the more you potentially open yourself up to get hurt. But that's life. Like you've got to be willing to. But anyway, so I mean, that's what a fuckboy is. They prey on the potential of what could be. So that means just straight up, they lead you on. They convince you that there's more. They convince you that they're on the same page when they're really not. And yeah, it's a really shitty reality. I mean, and there's no solution to it, I suppose, other than trying to be as aware as possible of the warning signs there, of which there are many, of course, right? It's flakiness, it's lack of
communication. Like unfulfilled promises.
Unfulfilled promises.
Always saying, when we get married one day, never believe it.
Yeah, that's a bold claim to make. So yeah, I mean, so it's things like that. So I mean, I think it's a part of dating. I mean, I think people are going to be hurt in that sense. It's definitely going to happen. The way I look at it, and it doesn't necessarily make things sting less, is like, you know, if you get hurt by a fuckboy, it is 1,000,000% a reflection of them. Like for a man to do that and to do it intentionally, that says all you need to know about their character. Like I'm big on this like thing of like being a man of character. That's someone who like actually says what they feel and like not just what they want you to say how you feel, but like actually truthfully. And like when someone doesn't do that, you know everything you need to know about them. And unfortunately, if it comes at your expense, that sucks. And I'm really sorry you had to go through that, but it's 100% a reflection of them and not you.
So if you guys are going on a date and you're like, okay, what would be a cute fashion forward shoe to wear that's not a high heel, which can seem kind of intimidating on a first or second date, I got the flat for you. Rothy's. We are talking about Rothy's again because we love them and we know that you guys do too. They're the incredibly comfortable flats with zero break-in period, and that's thanks to their seamless knit to shape design. So many chic styles to choose from, and there's so many styles and colors being released all the time. They are the perfect shoe to step into the new year with or to step into a date with. They also have bags now, which is really awesome because they're cute, but they're also eco-friendly. They are made from repurposed plastic water bottles and marine plastic.
What I think is kind of crazy is that Health Magazine, like the health Bible, says that they're the most comfortable shoes on earth.
Well, Vogue, Lauren?
I understand Vogue too, but also like they have the choice between sneakers and all these comfortable things. They chose Rothy's as the most comfortable shoes on earth.
Good point. But Vogue also calls Rothy's a personal obsession, and Meghan Markle wears Rothy's. They also come with free shipping and free returns on eligible items, so you can gift them if you want without worry. You can also clean them in the washing machine, which I really think is a perk.
Yeah, it's such a perk. And a lot of people don't realize this, but you should technically match your bags to your shoes. So the fact that they have bags and shoes that you can easily like coordinate together is major for me. So guys, if you want to check out all the amazing shoes, bags, and masks actually available right now, do so at rothys.com/get it. That's Rothys, rothys.com/get it. Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to rothys.com/get it today.
So as a non-fuckboy you personally, have you always, like, when you didn't feel something, explained to the girl, like, this is why I'm not going to hang out with anymore? Like, have you always been upfront?
No, not at all. That's why I not at all. That makes me sound absolutely amazing. I mean, I would say definitely. Okay. I mean, in my 20s, it was definitely fuckboy material for sure. And I think lots of men and women become fuck people, not necessarily intentionally, but because they're scared of confrontation, they're scared of being vulnerable, and they're scared of letting someone down, and they're scared of being alone. Like, a lot of times fuckboys act out of their own vulnerability, right? They don't want to be alone.
They want you to linger.
Yeah.
Just in case you're lonely.
Yeah, they want someone on the back burner, and they don't want to admit that they're lonely. And you know, they're sad boys and not just fuck boys. So I mean, it's
I love that. Wait, I think like a big reason, I love that you went through causes of why people become a fuck person. But I think being afraid of vulnerability is definitely up there on the list. They're the guys that usually just like never have real girlfriends, but they always have like lots of girlfriends.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's warning signs for sure. if you can do some, you know, sleuthing and figure that out, like, that's definitely a warning sign. I mean, cause that's either lack of commitment, which is a cliche to say, or they're afraid of commitment, but it's also, they're afraid of ever being vulnerable and saying how they feel, which means they never actually break up with anyone because they never actually are a couple, because they never actually communicate that. So, I mean, yeah, it's tough to say that there's a certain kind of guy who's a fuckboy. To my point, I think people sometimes become that way out of, you know, their own insecurities. It's not necessarily like a narcissistic kind of drive that they just want to, you know, screw and have fun. I think a lot of times it comes out of their own vulnerability, but then the lack of vulnerability, but then their own lack of self-awareness to actually be like, well, I'm kind of being a dick right now.
Yeah. I think you mentioned warning signs, so I want to get into ghosting. But I love that you mentioned, well, let's start with ghosting first. Like, what are your thoughts on ghosting?
I mean, it's super aligned with fuckboys. I mean, all it is, you know, why do people ghost? People ghost because they're afraid of confrontation. That's all it is. Like, it's so easy to ghost. All you got to do is not respond to texts and not reach out anymore. It's the easiest thing in the world. Like, I definitely blame people, but I see it. I've done it. I've been there. But again, my North Star is realizing that, you know, for one, if you get ghosted after 2 dates, I'm not taking it personally.
Yeah.
If you get ghosted after, you know, 4, 5, 6 or months.
Yeah.
That's territory where it's like, yeah, it's going to really stink. So on the former, like if you get ghosted after 2 dates, like, I really don't take it personally because it's like that person did not know me at all. Yeah. So for someone to not know me and ghost me, how can I take that personally? Well, you do take something personally, of course, is where you get to know someone, they get to know you, you kind of bear more to that person, you're vulnerable, and then they ghost you. And of course that really, really sucks. And there's no way around that. But again, all I can say about that is it's a reflection of them and not you. And it just means they're not a good person. And it means that you are, in a sense, and I never want to like pit people against each other and like, you're the good person, he's the bad person, or vice versa. But it really is a reflection of them. They didn't have the proverbial balls to say what they wanted to say. Yeah. And that means that they're probably not that happy and fulfilled of a person in their life. So, I mean, you gotta take your wins where you can, but it's going to sting for sure. But I think realizing where it came from is a somewhat helpful starting point.
Ashley has a question, but I just want to really hone in on this takeaway because it was a lesson that I really had to learn and I'm still learning, is like, you cannot take it personal. And even though you said it feels personal, especially after 5, 6 months, it really isn't you. And I think it takes a long time for people to really learn that. I mean, obviously there's nuances there, right? Like, I don't know why a relationship went awry or whatever it is, but I think so often, especially women, tend to think, what's wrong with me when something doesn't work out? But
yeah, that's the point. It's not what's wrong with you. It's what's wrong with them, 100%. But I also look at it in the same way of like a bad breakup. Like, my whole thing is like, okay, they ghosted me after 5 months. That is messed up. It really is. But I would much rather be ghosted after 5 months than a year. So, okay, there's a little bit of a win there. And it's the same with relationships or breakups. Like, if you go through a breakup, it's like, that was tough. That was really tough time for you. But now you're on day one of, recovering and rebuilding and whatever. And you should be grateful that it's day one. I would much rather day one happen now than day one happen 6 months from now, knowing that because that person doesn't have the, you know, communication skills, it's going to happen inevitably. I would much rather it happen today so I could start the healing process sooner. So that, again, that's a way of rationalizing things looking back. It's tough to, like, in the moment do that, but everything is on a linear line. That's why I say it's important to, like, try to put yourself in your shoes a year from now and not regret being single, or a year from now and be like, ah, thank God he ghosted me, you know, 5 months in rather than, you know, broke up with me a year in. Like, it's all about trade-offs, and I think that perspective can be helpful a bit.
But what is day one when you're ghosted? Like, when do you know you need to, like, move on because it's over? Because a lot of people will linger on the hope that it's not over. Like, what do you do when you're ghosted? Do you recommend saying, like, calling them out, or do you just recommend letting it go?
Yeah, so... So I have thoughts on that. We don't know each other that well, but I feel like maybe we're all like type A, kind of like we say what we want to say, and we kind of have that vibe. I don't think it's helpful to necessarily speak your mind, because the whole thing is like, after you get ghosted, after you get broken up with, you need to find closure in some way.
But you're not broken up with, you're ghosted. Like, how do you get closure when ghosted?
Right.
I think everyone should have closure that person doesn't like you that much to even text you.
Yes, that is the real,
like, that is your answer.
Hitting answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead.
Ooh, like, that's a lot of pressure. Okay. So I think, I think in the case of breakups, it's easier. I think in the case of ghosting, it's very difficult. But regardless, you want closure, right? And to your point, like, how can you have that? I think the problem is oftentimes we look to, like, receive closure, and like we look to receive it in the form of, like, I'm going to call him out and I'm going to show him that I know that who he is and he's a bad person and blah, blah, blah. And he's going to sit there and he's going to get all up in his feels and he's going to get upset. I don't think that is how we receive closure. Like, my whole concept on closure is it's not something that you can receive. It definitely doesn't come from a conversation. It doesn't come from an apology. I really don't think closure comes from an apology, because if you're waiting to get over someone, whether that's a breakup or a ghost, and you're like, I need that apology, then you've flipped it again. Now you're waiting for permission for them to say that you can move on. So
feel better even after you get it.
Absolutely not. That's why I say, like, closure isn't a team sport. Not at all. It is, like, it is you and you alone. And I don't have some blueprint. It's like, closure, steps 1 through 10. All I know is that closure and, like, a state of peacefulness are closely related. And you get peacefulness in life by, as tough of a pill as it is to swallow, by accepting that some things in life don't have answers. Some chapters don't have endings. There's always going to be loose ends on things. And I think if you're constantly trying to close chapters, close doors, get apologies, get assurances, you're going to end up so much more drained than if you can swallow your pride and take a step back and be like, this story doesn't have an ending, but I'm moving on because I deserve it. And, like, again, that's not a great answer, but life doesn't have answers a lot of the times. And I think rather than trying to receive closure, you have to create it yourself. So I just think you got to take that person out of the equation. And so it doesn't necessitate a conversation. It doesn't necessitate getting on the same page or tying up loose ends or anything like that. It's like, it's just you, and you have to come to that conclusion.
Right. Mm. So,
man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All these things are kind of obviously related. My second favorite thing that you've ever talked about under green flags, which is, like we said, I just want to say it again. Do you like the person today? And do they like you today? Is timing. I love your perspective on timing. It's a little controversial. I don't know how people are going to feel about it. I want you to, sort of just rant on your concept of right person, wrong time.
So this was like really divisive. I think people are either camp one or camp two, right? That right person, wrong time is a thing. It's absolutely a thing, or it's total bullshit. And I fall in the latter camp. I don't agree that there is a right person, wrong time scenario. Put a little asterisk there. And of course, like, there are some things that are truly restrictive, like health or some like family issues where it's like, I literally cannot. Like, I have to be with my family.
Or when you meet them when you're like 12 and then you grow up.
Yes.
Okay. That's my boyfriend.
I'm
going
to have
right
plenty
now.
Of things to say, but I'm going to let Case talk about it.
Let Case make his case.
Sorry. I'm just adding to the asterisk.
No, see, I that's why I wanted to, my attorney encouraged me to say the asterisk. Yes. Yeah. So like I said, I know that there are, everyone's always going to have a scenario where it's like, but. So again, I'm speaking from my perspective and generally. Mm-hmm. So there certainly are some scenarios where, yes, I understand. I think more than that, though, it does come down to self-awareness. I don't think that there is a right person, wrong time. My whole soundbite was that there's no wrong time, only wrong person. And I say that because I've learned a lot in both dating and business and just life in general that there really is no perfect time for anything. There really isn't. There's no perfect time to like start a business or quit a job or go back to school or even date. Like I think a lot of people are like, exactly. Like when, like, I just think it's very rare that you're like, the timing is perfect. I think it's rare because timing doesn't always align with opportunities or circumstance. So it's a tough thing to expect of yourself. So my whole take is that when you meet the right person, and again, we're defining right person probably in the same way that we've been talking here, right? So green flag, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not falling into those red flag pitfalls and they've got the Kanye attitude and the Drake feelings and those things. So you've done the self-awareness to say this is the right person or this person has the potential to be the right person. I think once you make that decision, then the timing doesn't necessarily become right. I just think it becomes irrelevant. I think it becomes a very self-aware obstacle that you're going to have to hurdle. And I think a lot of the time, the response I get is, I met someone right after a bad breakup, and I'm just not emotionally ready. I think that's a fair answer. But I think if you've done the self-awareness to say that person is right or that person has the potential to be right, then it's something that you're willing to fight through. I really do believe that. So again, it's not a matter of the right person makes the timing right. I think the right person just makes the timing somewhat irrelevant so that you're going to fight through it. And of course, you're going to have to find someone who also complements that. But that's my take on it. And I think, you know, a lot of times we aren't self-aware enough when the answer is, when we find ourselves saying that this is the right person, it's the wrong time. A lot of times what we really want to say is, I'm just not convinced it's the right person. Mm-hmm. Because if you were truthful, like truly, truly, truly convinced it was the right person, you'd be like, yo, this is going to suck. This is going to be really tough, but I'm convinced. So I'm going to try. Might not make it work, but I'm going to try. So that's my take on it. I don't know.
I was so with you on exactly like the last sentence or two you just said. Even when after I met my husband, I was like, no, like, this is the right time. This is the right person. But like, he was not at the right time. And in hindsight, I wasn't in the right time because I had to do a lot of growing and he had to do a lot of getting out of his comfort zone. And eventually we ended up at the right time and he was the right person. Mm. But when we first met, it unbeknownst to me, it wasn't the right time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But based on that, it sounds like, but you didn't cast it aside. You weren't like, forget it. It's not the right time. Yeah. You like worked towards the right time together.
That's true. Right? Neither of us abandoned us being together. You're right. Because we just kept coming back to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think so. The whole concept goes both ways, right? So it's for you, if you're one of those people and you find yourself saying that, then it comes down to, well, are you being honest with yourself? If you're saying that is the right person for me, but this is the wrong time for me, maybe you really aren't convinced that's the right person for you. So that's like a self-awareness ego check. Like, we got to call ourselves out for that. And then the flip side, if you find someone saying that to you, yo, you're the right person, this is the wrong time for me, it's a tough pill to swallow, but I mean, that's rejection veiled in a cliche. That's what it is.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. I was like, if someone says, I'm just starting school or something, I'm starting a new job,
just be like, thank you
for rejecting me.
Yeah. It's rejection. And here's the thing. That still sucks. You're getting rejected.
Yeah.
But I've done episodes and episodes and episodes on rejection as well. I would much rather be rejected than live in a world of what ifs. I can deal with being told no. I could deal with being told I'm not good enough or whatever. It sucks, but I could deal with that. What's really tough to deal with is not knowing, because that's when you start entering that like really devolving cycle of questioning your worth and your ability and all those things. I would much rather be told no and then face that answer than to be wondering, oh, well, what if the timing was this or that, or what if he really meant that? It's like, just take the L and move on. And
so no veil.
Take the L. I love it. We're more resilient than we all think we are. You know, like we think it's like the end of the world when something ends, and then all of a sudden you're meeting someone new, you know, but dating is a battleground, Case. It is terrifying. It's terrifying, like, going out. First of all, being as a woman, men are like the biggest predators. So you're like, am I going to get murdered today? Hopefully that doesn't happen. and even if you connect or whatever, you're like, is this person going to ghost me? And then even if everything's right, you're like, fuck, I'm scared. What if someone else is out there? It's all so confusing. But I'm glad you went through your right person, wrong time thing, because I 100% agree with you. So let's say we've gotten through all that. We've gone through the fuckboys, the baggage. We've gotten through the timing. We found our right person. Flags. We're in a relationship. What is the number one thing you think that people need once they're in a relationship?
Yeah, so I think it's relative to everything we just discussed, of course. I think these are like, I think my one big thing would be compounded on those. And it's a little bit cheesy. I think it's understanding. Because I think we all define love in different ways, right? But I think there's a difference between, you know, being loved and being understood. Like, again, it comes down to definitions, I suppose. But like, being loved by someone, it means like they support you, like you're attracted to each other, like you enjoy hanging out. Like, that's great, right? But I think there's a difference between being understood. And like that comes down to like all understanding is just like a really, really deep sense of empathy, right? It's like when you're upset with a partner, when you're having something, and like, is the reaction of, oh, you'll get over it, you'll be fine tomorrow, can we just move on, versus like an eagerness to like get to the root of that insecurity, that problem, whatever it is. Like, it's a challenging sense of like not taking someone's actions or words at face value. It's always diving into the why. It's like an eagerness to know where someone's coming from. It's every cliche in the book. I'm not gonna lie, that sounds very cliche, but I really do think that there's a difference between, you know, getting along with someone, being compatible with someone, versus being understood by them. Like, I feel like I can get along with anyone. I could talk to a wall. And I could vibe, and there's a million people that I would be attracted to. And some people might misconstrue that for like, that is what love is, right? Love is personality, compatibility. Love is physical attraction. Love is support for each other. But I still think that's missing a key component, which is understanding. Like, I feel like you can really appreciate someone, but really not know them and really not know where they're coming from. Like, I think we can do that. But I think the key component there is that understood. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's like, how does someone make you feel? Well, do they make you feel understood? And like, what does being understood mean to you? Maybe that's relative to your baggage, right? Or maybe it's relative to an insecurity you have, or a dream you have, some like weird, wild dream you have that no one gets, but they get it. Like, I think that's the question. Like, do I feel understood?
But is being understood like you have many dates, you ask a lot of questions. It's not just an instant like spark sort of situation. It's like a, you have to understand their past and where they come from and the decisions they make. It's not just like, oh, I feel good with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it definitely takes work. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's going to be Q&A.
Yeah. Kind of. I think a good question is like, one, if you're in a relationship, am I being understood? And then the second question is like, are they trying to understand me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe that's the better question, mm-hmm. because being understood could take a long time.
Yeah. Right.
But I think is there an effort there? And it's the same way with everything goes full circle here with baggage. It's like, is there a desire to, you know, use that baggage to, you know, overcome it or whatever, and like recognize it and work for it and verbalize that. It's the same with understanding. You're not going to magically understand someone just by hanging out with them. Like, you really need to, it's all about questions. Like, my whole thing is like, I'm not like, I've only recently started talking about dating this past year. Everything before that, and really everything that I center on, is this idea of mindfulness. And all mindfulness is self-awareness. And all self-awareness is asking and answering the question of why as often as possible, both for yourself and for other people. So I think that's the key indicator. Like, are you driven into your why when you're with that person? Are they diving into your why when you're with that person? In any sense of it, whether it's your personality, your insecurities, your career, or whatever it is, I think that's like a really good sign of whether there's an enthusiasm to be understood. Or again, we have to check ourselves. Like, a lot of that's a great question. Like, if you're in a relationship and you're like, I don't know if this is the one for me, it's like, well, are you curious? Are you driven to understand them? Maybe you're not. And maybe that's the biggest sign of all. Maybe you're like, I really just don't care to understand them. I like hanging out with them. Like, they're great, but I don't really need to understand them. Well, there's your answer. So it goes both ways.
I love that. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Obviously you mentioned, you know, that up until, which is crazy to think it wasn't up until, that it wasn't until last year you started talking about dating and relationships, because I just feel like your perspectives are so spot on. But I do, now that we've talked about, you know, what it means to be single and when you're dating and when you're in a relationship, let's talk about ourselves. Let's talk about this concept of ego. And a big thing I wanted to start asking you about is indifference, because Ashley and Lauren and I have talked on the podcast before about this concept called death to the cool girl. So none of us were essentially like the cool girl. Like, and when I say the cool girl, I mean, like, we love to care. I was, you know, I can only speak for myself. I'll let them speak for themselves. But it's like, I'm the person that like maybe wants to text twice, you know, and I sort of wear my heart on my sleeve. And so we were just like we just hated the game. And we've talked about this ad nauseum in the past. So I want your thoughts on like ego. And maybe we start off with talking about indifference.
Yeah. That's the cool girl. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, so, I think relative to, you know, we're talking a lot about like looking forward and then looking back at what you'll regret. I think indifference is something you'll 100% regret. That's your own indifference, right? That's feeling a certain way, but acting indifferent towards it. Mm-hmm. That's feeling a certain way, wanting to do a certain thing, wanting to be enthusiastic about a certain thing, but not acting on it because, indifference is a safer play, or indifference is a safer bet for yourself. You can't get hurt. You can't get rejected. It's definitely cool to be indifferent in a lot of scenarios. So I think just as a context and setup, like, you're going to regret that. I don't see a way around that. As contrast, you'll never look back and be like, oh, thank God I was indifferent. Thank God I didn't, you know, text when I wanted to. Like, I don't think that's possible. Again, this is how I think I like run random scenarios. I'm like, well, I won't regret that. So in the present, it's probably a good indicator. So anyway, I say that. And then I did just release an episode on this idea of ego. I think a lot of times people think ego is this nasty word. Like, if you're driven by your ego, like, you're a narcissist, you think you're hot shit, like, you're the best, like, you probably don't care a lot about other people. You're probably pretty apathetic towards other people. You probably don't show a whole lot of compassion. And I think that's true, right? That's the negative side of ego. But I think there's a flip side. There's a flip side to everything. And I think there's a powerfully compassionate flip side to your ego. And that's the side of you that says, I can handle any reaction to what I do. As long as it's well-intentioned, I have no problem with leading with my ego. And ego literally is like, I hate to say the word, but it's like swag. It's like confidence. It's like enthusiasm. It's like being loud and obnoxious because that's who you are. And you know, it's easy for me to be like, yeah, you know, go off, triple text, do your thing. But I really do believe that if you contrast that to indifference, leading with your ego, again, because you're okay with any result, is always the right play. Like, I really think you're going to regret being the person who plays games because it's safer, being the person who does the three-day text rule. Like, I really think that you're going to regret that. I think you're much better off being like, I have this thing, it's called my ego. It doesn't say that I'm better than anyone. It just says that I don't like being indifferent towards the things that are pulling at me. And I'm fine with acting on them because I, as a person, as a centered person, can handle any outcome. So I'm going to act on it. And I've just found that life, universe, whatever you want to call it, rewards people who act that way so much more than people who don't. And
I was just going to say, Ashley is so lived this concept. I believe, which is why I love, really admire and respect you.
I do say this a lot, and I know that my podcast listeners, this and Almost Famous, are going to be like, oh my God, she's saying it again. While sometimes I encourage my friends to play a cooler game, you know, like let him come to you. If he wants to be with you, he's going to be with you. But truly at the end of all of it, I'm all about eliminating as many what if scenarios as possible. And that's what you were talking about before. It's just like, if you are going to be if you're just going to keep this thought process lingering, just send the text, because what's the worst case scenario? You're going to at least know. And the more you know, the less you're going to have to wonder what if.
Exactly. It's the same with dealing with rejection. It's like, I would much rather know whether that's yes or no than dealing with what ifs. And actually, I'm going to record an episode later, and I wrote an outline down, but there's a quote that I loved in it that I think is relative here. And it's a quote I hate. Like, I hate it. Like, yeah. I am like triggered. I'm triggered by this quote. I saw it on Instagram.
Probably something I said, honestly.
What is it?
Yeah. Awkward. I don't think you said it. So the quote is, but I saw this on Instagram earlier, and people were like, yes, preach. And I hate it. The quote is, the same energy given to me is the same energy I'm giving back. No more and no less. And I really don't like that at all, because that's basically saying, like, I'm only willing to be kind. I'm only willing to be compassionate. I'm only willing to be honest and vulnerable when someone else does it first, which I think is an insane way to live your life.
It's like, ridiculous.
Okay, if you're that way and they don't reciprocate it, all right, well then bye. But as an initiation point, like, if you're only going to be the one who texts if they text, if you're going to be the one, whatever scenario, I think that's such a, like, an ass backwards way of living life. It, like, fires me up. So it's all the same. It's like, you are capable of caring. You're capable of not being indifferent. You're capable of being the first. So then just do it. Like, I really don't think you'll regret that. Yes. Yes. I do think that mentality definitely opens you up to being hurt more than being indifferent, but I think it's so much more rewarding. So I'm like hot off that topic.
Clap, 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 clap.
That's very funny.
I love it. I hate people that are indifferent.
Yeah, me too.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
I don't think I'm indifferent, but I do believe that when you're starting to date someone new, that biologically the man is going to come after you if you're playing hard to get. So I always tell girls to play hard to get and don't text first.
I agree with her.
And I have seen that work plenty of times. So I'm just, for a contradicting theory out there,
I think that's completely fair. If it works, it works. Okay. But I will say the flip side also works. Like,
yeah, I definitely.
When a woman texts me first, I'm like, oh, whoa, that's freaking awesome. Like, yeah. So it works both ways. It just depends on the guy. Some guys want to be this alpha. I want to pursue you. Some guys don't. Some guys want to be pursued, I guess. But there's also this middle ground of men like myself. Maybe I'm a sucker for a compliment or a first text, but I'm like, oh, whoa, like that's interesting. Like it's my attention. Okay, so it works both ways, but
it's true. Definitely depends on the guy. And if you guys are like right for each other, like if he likes you, then he's going to love it. But if he doesn't like you, he's not going to like it.
So you'll have your answer either way. Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
That's true. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I was just going to say that Lauren definitely has just done well in the game of love. Lauren has very rarely been rejected. Whatever she does works.
But it's because I don't put myself out there that much. So.
And there it is.
And there you go.
And I've been hurt so much because I only put myself out there.
Because I remember this one time specifically.
I'm like, shoot me in the middle of the warfield. Sorry, Lauren, what were you saying?
No, it's fine. There's this one time I sent a text first and I did not get a response. In the hurt that I felt from that, I never want it again. Whenever I see a Cosmopolitan, I don't want it because I was drinking that at the time. Okay.
So, and Lauren's told me in the past,
rings in my
giving head. Me advice. She's been like, don't ever text him first, ever. And I'm like, how do you not? And she's like, I always let them text me first.
But see, you're much better at handling the letdown, maybe.
I think I've just been through a lot of them that it doesn't get easier every time, but you sort of know how to pick yourself up every time a little bit better, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Practice makes perfect in a very painful way. But I mean, I'm the same way. I always think there's this one like bar I won't go to here in the city anymore. And I'm the guy who gives advice. I won't go there anymore because I went on this second date with a girl there many, many years ago. And in the middle of it, she said she had to go feed her dog and just left. And I never heard from her again. So like, I'll never go back to that bar.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, that happens. That happens to people every day, all the time. Yeah. And it happens in the form of ghosting even.
That was a little more overt. I mean, everyone responds to things differently. I respond to that as, well, okay, well, that was interesting, but I'm, you know, it's fine. I just won't go back to that bar because, you know,
because it's cursed.
Yeah, it's cursed.
Case, you've just been such a wealth of knowledge. We feel so lucky that you came on because this is, I feel like, a crash course in Case Kenny, this podcast. But obviously, I have to ask you one personal question before we let you go. I would always like sort of overshare my dating experience in the first couple years of this podcast. And last year I kind of took a step back. I'm curious because you're kind of like in this, you're in the same, do you talk about like people you're currently dating on the podcast or do you see what happens first? Like current situations, like today, if you're talking to a girl, are you like going on the podcast and sort of opening up about it? Or do you wait and see until things, you know, you see it through first and then choose to share it?
I generally wait just out of respect to her and myself. It's blown up on me in the past where I have talked about something and then it created some awkward conversations about it, which were unintentional. Yeah. So
to me last year. Yeah. And so it's this internal struggle for me because I'm like, I really just want to be myself, but I'm sort of doing the latter now too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a balance. I mean, everything I talk about, I think it would be disingenuous if it wasn't from my own life. So sometimes I'll, you know, change names or change dates and do things like that just to make it real. But yeah, it's a balance for sure. It's, you know,
do you think that you feel pressure to like stay single since like you're the single preacher?
Yeah, it's a really hard-hitting question. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, I feel that too, kind of, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough because it's like, that's like my brand a little bit. And it's not like I set out to do that. It just kind of fell into it. And it's not something I'm like interested in always having. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. And it's like, you know, when you're the mindfulness dating guy, it's like, well, the bar is so high for yourself. Like you better take your own advice on everything. And I always say I'm just a dude being a guy. Like I, you know, I'm average in that sense. So yeah, it's a balance for sure.
But you're average when it comes to articulating yourself and all this dating situations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're the best, Case. You. So you guys can please subscribe to Case's podcast, New Mindset, Who Dis. He drops them every Monday and Thursday, right? Yep. They're around like 20 minutes each. So digestible, which is why I love it, because you don't have to commit that much time to it. It's like you can drive to the grocery store and listen to one of his podcasts. Anything else you want to plug, Case, and tell our listeners where they can find you?
No, that's it. Instagram is usually the best way. I post a lot there. And then newmindsetwhodis.com if you want to pick up the book, Single is Your Superpower, or I also sell a bunch of mindfulness journals there as well.
Amazing. You're the best. Cool. Well, thanks for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Did you know that everyone has an aura? Do you know what color your aura is? Maybe you have a fiery red personality or a quiet and calm blue or green. You could be an organized and methodical yellow or an explosive purple. Come join me, Mystic Michaela, on my podcast, Know Your Aura, to find out all about how your personality can be explained in colors.
I Don't Get It Podcast.